He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
Yes, and we're going to have a little second return to the Tesla delivery experience.
Did you buy a Tesla?
No, but I test drove one on last week's show, I think, didn't I? And what I may or may not have said was that the person who owned that car said that the delivery experience was atrocious.
Right.
And so here I am out showing real estate, and I drive in to show a house, and there is a Tesla that I drove, or at least I thought I drove, last weekend. So I said, oh, this owner's looking at a house. And it turned out not to be the owner's car, or the owner of that car was not the same person. It was another person. And so I asked this person, another woman who had an identical car to the one I test drove, and I said, how was your experience in purchasing it? She said the delivery experience was, actually she used the word atrocious, so the word I used before was not attributed to the other owner. Essentially, she said they knew nothing about the car, or else they did not want to spend the time with me to tell me about it. And that was about what the owner of the car I test drove said. So it's interesting that Tesla has got a very good, loyal fan base. She is thrilled with the car, as was the owner whose car I drove, and she's had no problems with it. She had range anxiety, which we'll call range anxiety, just that one time. But after that, she's been to the Cape, and she says, you know, they have all the charging stations on the computer in the car, and they know, you know, where they are anytime you need to worry about getting a charge.
And how long does it take to charge?
Depends on what the charger station is. If it's a supercharger, you can fresh up for another 160 miles or so in 20 minutes or so, or 30 minutes.
All right, so what is the what is the delivery?
She took delivery at Mount Kisco, and that may or may not have been where the other person took delivery. And she said they called and told me the car was there and to come pick it up, and she went and she financed it through Tesla. She said she got a great trade-in. Tesla took a trade-in on her car, which, Jay, was a Touareg gas.
Yes.
Which is what she was driving before him, and she said she got a great trade-in deal. She also got it in two weeks from the day she ordered it.
That's because a Touareg is a great vehicle.
Well, Tesla must think so. She got it in 2 weeks from the time she took order. She got the gray, which cost her $1,500 more than the black, which is the only standard color that you don't pay an option for. And apparently the color options range from $1,500 to $2,200, depending on the color.
So both of these women bought gray?
They both got gray. That's why I thought it was a different owner. But she said that they didn't. I said, how did they sit with you or do anything? Nope, they didn't.
So basically they drop off the car.
Basically, the car's at Mount Kisco, which is a delivery place, but
right.
They expect you to come in, pick up the car, more or less drive off in it without,
that's what I mean,
without getting any instruction about it.
Isn't that what most people?
Which is not good for Tesla, but nobody cares at Tesla, apparently.
Well, look at the bright side. You don't have to go back 5,000 miles later to get an oil change, so who cares?
Well, as she said,
don't mind.
I've gotten used to not filling up with gas. It costs her, she said, $9 a fill up at her house. She's figured out on her charger, which is not a 240 volt. It's not the high. It's not the supercharger, but it is a Tesla. And she got the Tesla installation on a charger at her home. She says she's got four connectors for the cords to cover the apparent four different connections that are existing out there right now.
Yeah, to use non-Tesla chargers.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting. I, you know, talking about Tesla, I started looking at used Teslas. I went on my favorite auto trader and said, hey, how many Teslas are there out there? What kind of mileage are they? You know, how many miles do they have?
What are you seeing?
So, you see quite a few Teslas with 100,000 miles for sale, 2012s, 2013s. The free charges are transferable. So there's, you buy a used Tesla S for prices range in around 30, low 30s, mid 30s for high mileage cars, which is not a bad resale value, really, when you think about it.
I have a question for your knowledge base on this, so I'm sorry to interrupt you, is the batteries are warranted for 100,000 miles or 7 years. And the question is, are the used Teslas coming with the original battery packs or not, or do you not know?
I do not know.
Okay. I the comment on the batteries, these battery warranties, are as follows. As far as I can tell, with very few exceptions, the batteries in the Toyotas, which I believe are also warranted for 7 or 8 years and 100,000 miles, are going well beyond their warranted life without any changes being required. Very few people to whom I've, as a matter of fact, I don't think I've got a handful, maybe even only two, that I know of. And this is going back to the days of the original Prius, have had to have batteries replaced either within or post-warranty. The Hyundai Sonata either. Comes with a lifetime battery warranty for all their hybrid slash electric optioned vehicles. So there's no warranty anxiety for the batteries for Sonatas or Hyundais and therefore Kias. But there doesn't seem to be a reason to worry about battery warranty lifetime beyond the warranty or not for most of the battery packs in all the other electric cars, short of something happening. Somebody tells me that, or did you tell me, Jay, that out in Arizona, heat is the enemy of batteries?
It could be, but it wasn't
well,
me.
Yeah. I noticed that we're going to see 112 degrees and thereabouts heat waves in California this coming week. And somebody said that the battery, oh, just regular 12-volt batteries apparently are very vulnerable to heat stroke,
about
should we call it.
A thousand years ago, I went to visit some friends in Palm Desert, and the trusty bank thermometer said 112.
I mean,
it's not as though it doesn't get...
Well, first of all, it gets far over that under the hood of a car, not to mention the interior of a car. But I guess heat... can kill batteries.
Can it?
Well,
well, apparently 12-volt batteries are replaced quite often in these heat.
So what happens with Tesla? Because they have Teslas and...
Well, under warranty, they're replaced, of course, because the batteries are not... There's no exemption for heat stroke.
Again, isolated case, but I was reading about the seller comments about this, and obviously he was trying to sell the car, but a 100,000-mile Tesla, California car, and the guy was obviously a real estate agent and said it was a great car to show real estate because you tool around the countryside and you have the bird's eye view of the neighborhood you're touring around on the huge screen so you know people can see where they are.
It's fun to watch that screen.
And when you get out of the car and you go show the house and you come back, the air conditioning is running, of course, because the car is just there, but it's on. And so cars are nice and cool, so clients are very happy. And he had nothing but great things to say about his
100,000
miles.
Well, this car was owned by a real estate agent, incidentally, this is a woman, and she says the same thing that you just said about that real estate agent marketing his car. She says it's a great car to show real estate in. She says she drives an awful lot on a daily basis. She said, I can go up to Hudson, New York, and I can go down to Dover Plains, New York, and I can drive all over all day long, and I have no range anxiety. Under 300 miles, okay, which is what her battery pack, and she got the big battery pack. She did admit the same thing that the other woman admitted, that cold weather saps strength of the batteries relatively quickly, and it is best if you've got it. She has no garage, so her car sits outside, and that is not good for starting out on a daily basis with a battery.
So she plugs it into the...
An outlet outside her house. Place.
I understand. I'm
okay?
just thinking.
That's what anybody can do.
In Europe, where people park street side, you have to watch where you're walking because you have electric cords on the sidewalks because people are plugging their cars.
Have to be conscientious about that. And I think the combination of people who have screens in their faces and you're tripping over things.
We don't have that up here in rural northwest Connecticut as far as cords all over the streets.
No, but we have blind dogs, for example, that will be tripping over cords.
Yeah, they usually step pretty high. But so that's a good, the Tesla. I said, I saw the Audi e-tron. I said, now they're getting competition. She said, you know what? It's like the iPhone. people don't buy Samsung. I said, yeah, they don't buy Samsungs or other iPhones. They want an iPhone. And that's the same way Tesla's got it going on the automobile right now, in the electric automobile club.
And I do think they have a heads up, you know, on everybody else. And I was just reading on the way here an article by this marketing guru that I auto marketing guru that I follow and who writes a weekly column in a pretty sarcastic way usually. And who was reviewing the strength of all the auto brands.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a marketing guy, and he reviewed them all and, of course, got to Tesla. And I have to disagree with him. He says it's a rocket about to go into oblivion. And I just don't see it that way.
I think I agree with you.
The brand is very strong. The product is good. It delivers what it's supposed to deliver.
So what's his objection?
Jay, to a certain degree, agreed with him or didn't agree with him. But
I understand.
But
I'm just curious. I'm just curious because there is a lot of it. It's really important to be able to, you filter the negativity, but you have to know what the other side of something is.
Well, I'm going to take Jay's side on this because what's interesting about this Tesla versus the others oncoming competition is, it's sort of like the Range Rover versus the Jeep guys. I sit there and say on this show, why buy a Range Rover or that level of a vehicle SUV when you can buy a Jeep for thousands less and get the same performance and utility? Well, there's a cachet of a Tesla. There's a cachet of the iPhone.
Absolutely.
There's a cachet of the Range Rover.
Right.
So if I've got the money and want to spend it, that's what I want to buy. And I think it's going to hold for Tesla well beyond the competition that's increasingly showing up in showrooms.
Is that what the question? What I didn't know is what is the rap on Tesla? What is the negative?
This
the negative
rap,
always
that's
comes,
all
I think,
find out.
Is always revolves around Musk, the
yeah.
company, its financials. Can it, in this case, this marketing guy, Peter DiLorenzo, has been thinking for a long time that eventually when real car manufacturers, what he calls real car manufacturers, people who have companies that have the experience of manufacturing cars for the last, going on 100 years now, will catch up with Tesla because they have the knowledge that Tesla does not have in building cars. And there is some validity to that, but I think that quality was an issue with Tesla and has been with the three when it got started. It is with new products. It's not unusual, but Tesla has a lot. Every product is a brand new product with Tesla. So there is a learning curve in putting those cars together,
wow.
if only that.
Getting
better.
I think
they
Tesla's
are getting
got it better.
There's no doubt about
this,
it.
Neither woman has had any problems with their cars.
Image has nothing to do with quality. I mean,
right.
it does. It should.
So it's a market. The successful thing, one way or the other, is they are established as a brand. They are a thing.
You they're way out
thing.
In front. I mean,
like
and look at it. Do you ever
around?
See an advertising? Do you ever see advertising for Tesla? No.
They're not on the radio.
As a matter of fact,
on the TV.
The only advertising I see for Tesla is a combination of word of mouth and the fact that there's a story written about Musk every
other
14
day.
Seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
And but that
brand is very strong.
So, but Musk Tesla. I mean, so it doesn't.
But let's get off Tesla because we got 10 minutes to go for
other brands.
Other
I mean,
brands.
Strong brands, weak brands. There's some that are totally.
And to your comment about this guy you read about and we were talking about coming over here, he's predicting a real problem, and there's other people that are saying the same thing about a coming fall in some segments of the American market of American manufactured vehicles because prices are going through the roof without justification for.
You know, when you buy a $70,000 or $80,000 Ford pickup truck and you have to finance it in 7 years and fork out close to $1,000 every month for the next 7 years.
Somebody's going to stop.
You better be making money with that truck, or you better be making money elsewhere
to pay
for that truck.
There's not enough, but it's the whole upside down thing. You can go student loans, you can go real estate, you can go. It's just another,
right.
in my opinion, with.
Well, they're riding
another,
a wave of success right now, and they're
but it's
but
a
they're,
bubble.
They're milking it,
it's a
and they may be over milking it. It's
it,
a bubble,
it's
waiting
a bubble.
To burst.
You can't. Logic.
But so companies that rely on those products, and we get back to the big three, who are only two now, Ford and GM. you know, when Ford has, you know, 50% of Ford is pickup trucks, is the F-150, basically.
And 50% of the remainder is SUVs now, or more, 70-80%.
When that truck market slumps a bit, there's nothing to pick up the pieces and keep the company going.
I'm not talking about trucks per se, but no. I'm talking about this is why leasing was invented. Created. People could not afford.
Now I can be the devil's advocate on the other side and say, okay, and I've said this before, cars and trucks are way better than they ever were.
Yes, but
so a 7-year life to a vehicle is not. Is
$1,000 a month.
Well, their average life of cars on the road now is between 10 and 11 years.
Yes.
So they're already exceeding the 7-year program that Jay is.
I'm all good with that. I'm talking about
the how old your car, for example?
Ancient.
Yeah. Is it 11 years?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
But perfectly. See, but it runs and I love it.
You'll end up sitting on the platform in the seat as the body wears off or rusts off.
That's true. But it drives.
But the motor runs and the wheels turn and the brakes work.
It will be my VW Wrangler. Yeah. Now, but what I want to ask about, it's not so much how long they stay on the road. Though I will say that the taxes in Connecticut is a different thing. You know, every time I think, well, I could go get
you're paying
car.
Nothing for I'm taxes on your car. $13 or $30?
I'm not
like
paying very much.
No, you're not.
The car runs, and I use it back and forth to go. You know, if I had different needs, it might be different, but why pay more? What I'm actually talking to or trying to talk to is 7 years at $1,000 a month is
a lot of money.
A lot
it's
of
$84,000.
And you can't.
$84,000, and you have a vehicle at the end of 7 years that's worth less than half of what you paid for it, and you have to justify whether or not you want to get another one or not at that same price level. And it's hard to beat the concept of spending $84,000 to finance a truck that's going to be worth less than half of what you paid for it, and maybe the body's going to be rusting. Or maybe it isn't. I don't know.
You just have no idea what the shape of it's going to be in X years.
But the average car price now, I think we said, was in the between $32,000 and $33,000 a car, creeping upward a little bit each year.
36, 37, I think.
Yeah. Well, I saw some on the TV. Still was down at 30, maybe 33 to 34 was what I saw on the screen recently. But it doesn't matter. It's inching up.
And I think that somebody told me. Fairly recently, if I've got this right, that the cost to buy the car at the end of the lease is so much more than just leasing a new one.
Yeah, but just leasing, that's correct. And that's why people keep leasing, so they can change vehicles, change models, and have a fun time.
Well, but the key, leasing works best if it's going to work for you when you run the numbers. It's going to work best with cars that retain high resale value, because if this is the case of Honda, Subaru, you know, these cars that retain stupid values after 3 years,
and they
if you buy a $30,000 Honda and it's worth and you still owe $20,000 on it after 3 years at the end of the lease, but they're giving you $23,000 for it if you buy a new one, well, you actually, you know, you've just made $3,000 that you've applied to the next car. Now, if you're buying a car that's only retaining 40% of its value and it's only worth $14,000, now
you
still
have the Fiat 500s. They're not
gone. Fiat is gone by 2023.
Fiat's probably gone. It'll be gone. Yeah. Well, Smart has left as far as the gasoline engine vehicles, as we went through that last week. And the other thing, Range Rovers, look at the leases.
To Fiat.
I want to talk about leases for a minute. Let's not worry about Fiat. It's not worth really aggravating over. The leases, you know, we talk about leases being so much less expensive than the car payments on comparable values of
the
cars. Well, they are in my Jeep. I'm paying $271 for the Jeep I've leased for 3 years. I'm limited to 12,000 miles a year without having to pay more. And I've got to keep the body in great shape and not pay more at the end. But Range Rover is running ads on the TV for the big Land Rovers and big Jaguars at somewhere between $750 a month and $940 a month for 3 year leases. And when you try to get your magnifying glass out to read the fine print, they're limited to 5,000 miles a year with 30 cents a mile for every mile over that at that leased price. Now, yeah. Nobody up here could drive a Jaguar or a Range Rover for only 5,000 miles to stay within that lease.
Sure, you can if you have a number of cars.
Well,
right.
That's
I know people who
chase.
Do.
Well, yes.
But seriously, if you have more cars because you want to have more
cars. If you can afford to lease that, I guess you can afford to have enough cars so you can prorate your mileage in each one if you're leasing them all so that you don't go over the mileage limitation. But it's sort of, you know, they have all the big numbers on the screen. You don't need to read it with a magnifying glass. And the one you can't read is it's 5,000 miles a year.
Right. There's the whole luxury versus utility conversation that we could probably have at a different time.
I think we're down to our safety zone.
Okay. We're down to our safety.
Jay's taking over.
I don't know why. June is a teen safety month, right?
We started out last week with that.
So I think, you know, okay, so tip of the day, what, you know, it's all about the eyes. I mean, we can learn all the driving techniques we want, and but basically
keep your eyes on the road.
Keep your eye, well, not only on the road, but keep your eyes looking way ahead, and it takes some training. I remember one of the first defensive driving courses I took 30 years ago, the first test was to drive this little course that was set up with cones on a parking lot. And the cars were going, you know, we were going left, right, left, right, left, right, and hitting cones and not figuring it out. And at the end of one or two sessions, the instructor said, okay, now I want you to look, do you see that sign at the other end of the parking lot? And they had put a sign, and he said, now keep your eyes on that sign and drive this course. And all of a sudden, it all made sense, and it became easy.
Right, because you
and another
looking,
aspect
and,
of that.
And it was just
but same in skiing, I'm sure.
Same in skiing, same in horseback riding. If you ask my daughter, same, you know, basically.
You don't look down in front of you.
You don't
look way
and
ahead.
Don't lock your eyes. Don't allow your eyes to lock into a certain position. If you look at an obstacle,
you will see it. You will hit it.
Okay,
trust me.
James Dean hit the only. What is it? The only tree in the desert, wherever. In
I don't know
California.
But I will. I don't know that one, but I do know that I can reliably, if I am. You know, if I am focused on an object, the next thing I know, I have made contact with that object.
So let's have a little bit of a safety discussion about people who aren't in cars but are on the roads. And that includes pedestrians and bicyclists and traffic control people.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's figuring out how invisible traffic control people are at these traffic control spots more than I am. And they have safety color stuff, vests on, all that. But let me tell you, it's amazing how when you're in a shaded area on a curve and there's no sunlight, how invisible those safety vests are in the undercover of the darkness.
You've just come out of light. And
especially when the drivers come out of light
trying
to adjust. But they actually can blend into the shadows that are there.
Can I give you another tip of the day?
Yeah.
And please don't mind my sarcasm. If you see one of those traffic people with a cell phone in their hand texting while they're holding the sign, do look ahead even if it says slow and not stop, because I only trust them to a certain extent.
It's not just that.
No question about it.
I had someone holding up. I had someone holding the wrong, no cell phone.
Right.
The person
the
was holding
the wrong way.
As like, okay, something's wrong here. So
I
went by once. One guy gave me the slow sign, and I started going. And these guys were the tree guys cutting trees, and this big branch falls right in front of my car. And I look at him. I'm like, what? So
yeah, I had that.
If they're the tree guys, look up in the air too. Don't just look at the guy.
Pay attention.
Yeah,
all right. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarc. This is Car Keys. Maybe you can drive my-